Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Adultish. Today, I have a good friend of mine on. Her name is Jehane Menard. Hey, Jehane.
Hey, Mathia. Hi, everyone.
Yes. How are
I
you?
am good. I am so excited to be here. Thank you for
Yeah.
having me. Thank you for starting this podcast. Thank you for
Oh.
this topic we're gonna get into.
Yes.
I'm all for it.
Awesome. So the title of this episode is Crawl Before You Ball. And we're gonna get into that a little bit a little later in the episode, but I cannot wait for you to speak on certain things, especially dealing with finances and financial freedom and how we can attain it, especially at, our age, in that, I feel in the bracket of 25 to 30. I think I saw a quote actually about 25 ages 25 to 30 is some of the most crucial ages. And I really do believe that because when I was 24, I really didn't have a care in the world like that. But for some reason, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's society, but when I hit 25, I'm like, oh gosh, all right. I need to get serious about my career. I need to make sure I'm saving. Oh my goodness, I'm gonna be off my parents' health care very soon. Like all these things started like getting in my head and life started like becoming real. So I'm really glad that we're doing this episode tonight. Like I say in each and every episode, I have my pen and my pad out because I'm taking notes, and I like that I have friends that are very knowledgeable about the topics that I'm putting out, because not only are you guys educating me, but we're educating other people that have some of these same questions. So I'm really grateful for you just being on here tonight and talking about this.
Thank you. Thank you. Same here. Like
Yes.
it's always a learning process when, when you mentioned this episode. I did kind of like, rethink some things, look at some things online because it's always learning something new, especially as the years go by. Well, what else is new for 2021? What, how did 2020 impact this? So it's always a learning process.
Awesome. So we're gonna hop right into the episode. And first, I want to ask you, what did your journey to accounting look like?
So my journey to accounting, it was one of those things where I could say like it was all a part of God's plan and I didn't know it, because when I started, I pretty much fell into it. Like when I was in high school, my focus was going to college for drama theater arts. So when like sophomore, junior came around and it's like, oh, college fairs and stuff like that, I was pretty much looking at colleges that had a performing arts program because my mind was focused on drama theater arts, being on Broadway, all of that stuff. But when I went to this college fair and, they had all the college representatives there, and one of the representatives was a guy who grew up in my neighborhood. So he was like a few years older than me, and he was already on the college side, and he was, just taking the time to give back and talk to, high school students about, the career options. So when I saw him, he was just like, oh, how are you? Yada, yada, yada. And, he asked the question, so here at this college fair, what are you looking for? What do you want to study? Did you think about that? And I was like, oh, drama theater arts. I'm gonna be on Broadway and stuff like that. And he pretty much said to me, it would be better if you would do something based off of skill versus talent. And in my mind, I had my mind made up. But when he said that, I really took the time to think about it, especially because you know, he's someone from my neighborhood, like,
right,
you know, same upbringing, same culture, and here he is on the college side, you know, he's someone that I can take advice from. Right. So I thought about it, and I was just like, you know what, you know, choosing that path is not easy. Like, drama theater arts is competitive to find something after you graduate. And those were some of the things that stuck out to me, because I know that after I finished college, I wanted to make money. You know, I wanted to be able to pay off loans. I wanted to, you know, start life. Exactly. And at the time, at high school, like most of the Brooklyn high schools, they already have set programs, whether it's sciences, performing arts, business, et cetera, et cetera. The high school that I went to was business and accounting. So I was forced to take those classes because it wasn't my zone school. And I just happened to be in an accounting class, and I did really well because, like, math was one of those things. It was just easy for me. So, so it was just like I was in it and didn't even know. So I spoke to the teacher about, like, well, what comes out of accounting, you know, is that something, how much years of schooling do I need to do? Because I don't want to do masters, et cetera, et cetera. I want to make money. And she took the time to explain to me, this is a good route to take as far as, you know, you should, you're likely to find a job right out of college.
Right.
So I just made the switch to accounting. And once I did that, and anytime I pursued anything accounting related, it just came naturally. Like,
it just worked.
Right. Yeah. I remember, I remember when senior year came and it was the day of my prom. And I went to the salon to get my hair done. And I'm talking to this lady. She's all like, oh, you know, excited because it's prom day. And she's like, oh, are you going to college? What are you going to study? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to college for accounting. And she was like so excited for me. And she was like, oh, when you go to college, you should look out for this organization called National Association of Black Accountants. And I was like, wow. What is that, like, Black accountants? Because, like, growing up, you didn't really hear about that.
You don't, not at all.
You didn't hear about that. And the fact that they had that organization, I'm like, okay. And then, you know, she explained it to me how she knew someone who was a part of it, and it really helped them out with their career progress. And, you know, when I went to college, they had that organization, and, you know, I was a part of it. I took the time to learn and, you know, just use it for my benefit so that when I graduate college, I could at least be on the same level as my peers, because I know growing up, I would not have received what they have, because they probably have family members who were in accounting, finance, or all these different diverse backgrounds. So they're used to it. But for someone like me, Caribbean culture, most people are in nursing or in the sciences, and I know that's not a route I wanted to take. It was like accounting. You don't want to be a doctor. You don't want to be there. I'm like, no, I don't. So it all just worked out. It all worked out for me. Yeah,
that's amazing. That's an amazing journey and testimony to accounting, and I love how you say it just kind of just came natural. So that's amazing. I want to ask you another question. So I have a term, and of course it's the title of this episode, that I got from a tax expert, and she said you have to learn to crawl before you bawl. Can you explain this saying to us?
It's so funny. When I saw this question, I'm like, oh yeah, that is so true. And so I kind of, when I heard it, I'm like trying to figure out how can I explain it. And it was just like, simply put, it just made me think of humble beginnings. Like, whatever you start, it takes stages. It's a process. You don't go into something expecting to be able to be at the top of your game yet. Always come in, you know, humble, ready to learn. Have a teachable spirit. Take your time with things. Learn the ins and outs before you feel like you've arrived, before like you've already accomplished whatever it is. Like, when it comes to, when it comes to like financial freedom. There's so much that people need to learn. And it's just like, if you don't take the time to understand how to stay within your means,
right?
If you don't take the time to learn how to save, if you don't take the time to learn how to have a cushion, you're going to set yourself up for failure. That's why a lot of people end up in crazy amounts of debt. Or
right. Can you talk about a little bit about the cushion?
Cushion.
Because I've heard that term. I heard that term as well.
Cushion is like, you know, have a little something already stored up, you know, before you start taking from it. Like having something in your savings, having something in the reserves, put a little something to the side and let that grow before you start using that money. Whether it's in a savings account, whether it's money you hiding under the mattress, have something have something on the side for a rainy day. Because you're gonna need it.
I've always heard that term, especially like, because of course, like we're in high school. When I was in high school, I had an economics class, and my teacher, Jewish lady, when I tell you, she was telling us she was like, let me tell you about this, let me tell you about that. And, you know, you got to have a rainy day account. You have to have this and have to have that. And it was so much information, especially for a high school kid. And I wasn't the type to like retain very well. So I'm just like, girl, like, what are you saying? And so I'm glad that, of course, over the years, I've had friends in accounting and, you know, people that have, you know, even my own bankers, like they've taught me how to like, okay, this is what you have to do. This is what you should do. And all like just having something left over, like in the reserve, like you said, and just having something to fall back on just in case, because
that's
like, and I think last year was a big teacher for a lot of us, because you know, a lot of people got laid off out of nowhere. And it was just like, oh my goodness. It made a lot of people realize, wow, I was living from paycheck to paycheck. And I have nothing left over. I had a little, only had like a little bit left over in my savings. And, you know, I think it was really important for a lot of people to see that, okay, our money management has to be, get better. And how are we, you know, how are we remaining responsible over our money?
So, it's so funny how you said that, because I think there's a question, one of the questions where I did think about that, like, if the pandemic did not open up people's eyes to the fact that you need to save money, I wouldn't know what else to say, because 2020 is the reality. Like, there's so many people struggling, like random people who they just can't find the funds to buy food to eat. It's really difficult for some people. And, you know, here we are in America, and we see what the government is trying to do to help people. They're doing the bare minimum.
It's true. And it wasn't even, you know, I was hearing that. I don't want to get too deep into it, but I heard like even the stimulus that we got, it wasn't the whole thing. You know, there's still more money that should have been given. And even like in Europe, I have friends that are overseas in Europe that's like, nah, y'all should have been getting a lot more, because we get, you know, they're getting money. Like, you know, even if some of them are working, but they're not working every day like they used to, they're still getting some assistance from, you know, their form of government. So I'm just like, wow, you know, this is supposed to be the land of opportunity, but it seems as though with the pandemic happening, some of the opportunity has it's faded.
It's all messed up. Like, I don't even want to go into the to the deep stuff. Like, they talk about CNN, how the wealthy receive this, or big businesses receive this, but on a day-to-day basis, life is expensive. Bills, mortgage, so rent, car payments. Ooh. And it's just like what came out of the stimulus is nothing. Nothing.
It's nothing.
Nothing.
It's
so, nothing. Yeah.
Especially when you're not receiving a steady paycheck and you're not having income flowing mm-hmm. in, you're spending, but nothing That's is coming true. Back. So, of course, it like your stimulus doesn't really, you don't have time to save it because you have to mm-hmm. buy this or you have to pay this off. And so it's just like, it's just crazy. But I don't yeah. even want to get into that. We can talk about that all day, but I don't want to get into that. That's probably another episode I'm going to have to bring you on because I do want to get into, I do want to educate, especially us as young adults and millennials and people of color. I see a lot of the times that, you know, it's not until we get to senior year or early college that we are learning about money. And, you know, sometimes people take out credit cards way yeah. too early and they have no idea what to do with that. And then their credit score is damaged and messed up. I know that for me, I didn't really think too much about my credit score until maybe like not too long yeah. ago. And I realized that, okay, yeah, I have to start building up, you know, yeah. my points. And so I'm like probably checking my credit score like every other day. Like I'm like so on top of myself, especially now that I moved. It's just like, yeah, I'm on top of it. And I just want to not only educate myself, but educate others. And hopefully they will get something yeah. from this. Because it's just like we have to like allow our money to honestly yeah. like work for us. I've also heard that saying too. So yeah, man, it's a lot. It's a lot. But I want to slide into another question because you spoke about mortgages, and I want to slide into another question. So recently, you've accomplished what I would say is almost like a dream come true. And that is purchasing your own home. Oh my goodness. Tell us about your journey to being
Lathea, I still can't believe it happened. Oh my God. Yeah, the homeowner process was a journey. It really was a journey. Mm. This is something that I've been seeking after for like 5 years. For 5 years. And the reason why it took 5 years is because in the beginning, I didn't know I had to crawl.
Well,
right. In 2015, it was just like, you know what? I want to own. I'm sick and tired of paying rent. I was looking at, you know, how much I was spending on rent. It's not going anywhere. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to own. And a lot of people around me were owning. So that inspired me.
Right.
To want to do the same. And, you know, I was on Zillow. It was like right. Zillow was like my internet shopping. Like, oh, this place yeah. is nice. Oh, I could see myself in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I like that living room or whatever. But then yeah. when it came to like, oh, wait, I got to talk to a banker. I got to talk to a realtor. I'm like, okay, all right, okay. You know, I've been working. I've been saving. Right. I thought my cushion was cushion. But when I had yeah. the conversations with them on what is need, I was just like, wow, I am not ready for this. You know, I was looking at places, falling in love, and, you know, getting my hopes up because I really wasn't ready, because everything that they asked for was so detailed. Like, whew.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
Let me.
Because mm-hmm. they have to trust you.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is a big investment, and the bank needs to know that if I'm loaning right. you this money, do I have mm-hmm. confidence that you will be able to pay it back over time?
Right.
And right. they check everything. They check your credit. They check your income. They check how many mm-hmm. years of taxes. They, oh my God, it was like so much stuff. Like, I can't even remember it all, but it was like so much stuff that I was not prepared for.
Prepared, yeah.
But there's a whole thing like pre-qualification letter. That's like the first step.
Ooh.
The pre-qualification letter kind of like helps you get your foot in the door. It's pretty much don't waste the realtor's time if you're not pre-qualified yeah. to look at these homes that you want to buy. Like, if your money doesn't add up to it, you're doing a disservice mm-hmm. by getting your hopes up and just like walking around with a realtor or working with a seller who is looking mm-hmm. for someone to buy their home, but you can't afford it. So the pre-qualification right. letter, you know, it just asks questions about your income, and there's no need for you. There's no reason for you to lie about that. Cause like, if like, just, yeah, you yourself, you would have to think, all right, I want a home that's probably worth such and such amount. Can I really get this home or not? Yeah. And the pre-qualification letter will help you decide that. So I looked at a couple of places, fell in love with some. It did not work out.
Yeah.
After going through the process of, you know, making an offer, then you got to work with an inspector. You got to pay that inspector money, and they're not cheap. If the inspector finds issues with the home, that money is gone because they did the service. They looked at the home for you and they realized such and such problems occur with the home. So
such as like mold and, you know,
exactly, all that. Exactly. So they could be like between $300 to $500. And it's just like,
wow.
All right. How many homes are you looking at? Three homes, that's $900 already gone. Like everything costs. So it's just really important to like have serious amount of cushion. Let me see.
And in New York at that, it's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, girl, like, you're the real MVP.
I would say what was the saving grace for me is the interest rates. Because the interest rates this year dropped down to a low number. Most homes have interest rates for like 4 to 5%. This year they were as low as maybe 2.875. And
would you say it's because of the pandemic?
So the loans, you know, it's tied to like the federal government, the banks. If the loan is, if the interest rate goes low, most people are likely to buy. But when it comes to the interest rates, that's how the banks make profit. Cause this is money that you're paying to borrow from them. Cause like most of the time, if you buy a house for to this day, like it just pisses me off how major interest rates are. Cause say for example, you get a loan for $200,000. By the time you finish your 30 years on a house, you might end up paying them almost $500,000. That's like $300,000 that you're giving them just to borrow a loan. I was looking at previous homes when the interest rates were higher, there's like a schedule. It's an amortization schedule. It shows you how much you will pay each month for 30 years. So what, 12 months times 30 years? It's like a long schedule. And you're paying monthly is broken out by how much is going towards principal and how much is going to interest, right? When I saw how much money goes to principal and interest, what you're paying on a monthly basis, more of it goes to interest compared to principal. To me, I thought that was a slap in the face. Like, I'm buying the home. Like, I'm purchasing a home. You would expect most of your monthly payments to go to the principal. No, it's going to interest. So the fact that the interest rates were as low as 2.5, 2.875, it really was the best time for people to go in and get and buy. And even if people already had a home, they were refinancing. So like they probably purchased a home at an interest rate of 6%. If you go through the refinancing process, you put a little bit more towards your down payment. It's kind of like a security deposit it just goes into the value of the home. And once you put a little bit more down, revamp your interest rate, you save so much money on what you would pay at the end of the 30 years. So
I never thought this
would happen during the pandemic, but it was a blessing in the disguise because the interest rate it really helped out. I would say like my mortgage, the principal and interest rates are close. Mm-hmm. Instead of the interest rate being like two times more than the principal. So
Wow. That is great. Like, I feel like it's like you're learning something. You really do learn something every day, especially in the whole like money arena. And not only that, but just like, of course, buying a home. My sister went through that not too long ago. So it's like, you see it from so many angles and it's like, my word, like, what is this?
Even when it was the day of closing, right? And I was just like, all right, I came this far. I'm going through with it. I fall in love with the house, right?
Yeah.
We're at the closing. You got to sign all these papers. And my real estate attorney, he's just like, all right, this is how much I'm going to pay a month. This is how much goes towards principal. This is how much goes towards interest. I'm like, you know what? We're already at this point. I don't even want to look at the numbers. Just tell me where to sign because it's disgusting. Yeah.
I think my sister said the same thing because it's just like, yo, I paid so much. I did all this stuff. And now you telling me all these things I got to pay for, everything I got to do. She's like, you know what? Like, she literally said the same thing. She's like, you know what? I'm just gonna sign. Like, I just can't. It's crazy. Oh, man. But tell us how much, like, okay, so I would want to know how much, or let me rephrase it, is it better to own than to rent?
Is it better to own than to rent? I would say it's based on your circumstances. Like, if you're the type of person, like, you know, you're probably gonna move a couple of times, you're not sure yet, maybe renting is the best choice. But even if you own, it's totally fine, because there's a lot of people, they own a home and they move, but they end up renting it out, but they still own it.
Right.
So I would say,
I
would still say owning is good because it benefits you in the long run.
In the long run.
It depends on everyone's situation. Yeah. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. All right, guys. So listen, it's better to own. So let's save our money. All right. Okay, so I've heard that the way we spend our money or treat our money is all about our mentality. How do we change or shift our mentality to making better money?
So when I was thinking about that, I was thinking it from the sense, like, I feel like it's tied to your goals. Like, if you don't have goals, if you're just like, all right, I'm just going to go day by day, then I don't think your mentality will be.
Yeah.
I don't think your mentality will shift. But if you have goals attached to it, like, you know what? I want to eventually buy a car, or I eventually want to own a home, or I eventually want to go to school. I kind of feel like your mentality will shift into the sense where, like, in order for me to accomplish these goals, what do I have to do now to make preparation for that? You know, how do I need to discipline myself financially so I can eventually own that car, lease that car, own that home, apply to that, for that degree? What do I need to do now to prepare for it?
Right.
Oh, I need to get my money right. Then I think that will cause people's mentality to shift from, you know, lavishly spending to, you know what, let me prepare because I know tomorrow I want to accomplish this for my future. I think people need to wake up. I think this is where I was saving that question about if the pandemic did not open your eyes, I don't know what else to say. But if you realize that, okay, this is real life, it's expensive. It's expensive. And some things are more important than others. You know, you got to prioritize your needs versus your wants and adjust your money mindset accordingly. Right. So I feel like if your mentality is not focused to a goal, to your future, to whatever you're dreaming about, I don't think that will, right. I don't think anyone's mentality will ever shift if they don't aspire for something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, that's true. I think that's right. I think it's so true because it's like, I've even saw the difference in how I spend money because it's just like, all right, do I really need to get mm-hmm. this food item or whatever? And, or do I really need to get like these pair of shoes or whatever? It could be yeah. as little as that, because the thing is, I don't know what it is about like turning a certain age. It's just like, yeah. you're adding up stuff now. Like, it's like, okay, ooh, this mm-hmm. is adding up, or this costs money. Even if you get a sale, it does. Everything adds up. Like, everything, and like, there's certain stores I cannot go in, especially if I know that I'm trying to discipline myself mm-hmm. that week or that month. Like, I cannot go in Marshall's, I cannot go in TJ Maxx. I can't, because there's like, those stores have like the yep. perfect like knickknacks, and they yep. have the, it's come, you know what I'm talking about. And even in like home goods,
it will
mess you up. So
some of them, I gotta unsubscribe my emails. Like, I don't want to hear about another sale. I don't want to hear about another coupon. No, not seriously. Today, not this week. Next not year, today. I'll resubscribe.
I'm like, nah, catch me. Thank you. I'm like, no, catch me yeah. next 3 months or something, because I can't do it right now. And one thing I even realized is more so when I was back in New York, like there would be sometimes like I couldn't go to like a birthday dinner or an event, because it's just like, yeah. it's not that I don't love you. It's just that, bro, yeah. like I'm trying to save. And if we're going to like, you know, mm-hmm. Tao or like STK, like, I'm sorry, I can't do that yeah. with you in the meatpacking district. And it's like, I can't do that with you because I have to, you know, I have to save. And if you have a goal, just like what you said, if you have a goal that you're trying to reach, there's certain That's things true. You're just going to have That's to true. Miss out on, you know? Even like certain trips, like there's just certain yeah. trips you may have to miss out on. And I would also say, if you really want to go to that trip or you want to go to this dinner, then if you have ample time to yeah. save, then save for that. Because my mom always used to say, like, you know, don't hang your hat higher Ooh. Than you can reach. And it's mm-hmm. basically like crawl before you ball. Like, you don't want to overextend yeah. your money. And you don't even really have it. Like, I remember, like, not too long ago, like, mm. I was in the negative. And I didn't even realize I was in the negative, because it was just like, I had to pay this bill off, and then I had to pay that bill. And then what some people don't understand is, if you have Chase, they yeah. take out a monthly fee. And then it's like, everything just adds yep. up and adds up. So
yeah, yep. and it's so funny you mentioned credit. Oh, all that is so tied true. To your credit, because believe it or not, that credit score knows everything about you. I'm like, do you know my favorite color too?
Everything. Yeah.
When I first saw the report, I'm like, oh wow, yes. this is something from how many years ago? Wow. Oh,
right. It's true. Like, they keep tabs on you, man. Like, man, that's why I say I'm always checking my score. Like, every yeah. other day I'm checking my score. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm yeah. good. Oh, I went up. Yes, God.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I'm and something so that I want to mention, like, you know, everything is electronic or whatever, but there's always room for error. Something that yeah. I started doing is, you know, it used to be every week. Then it was every 2 weeks. Then it was every month. I would always look at my account and see what was going in and out. Mm-hmm. See what's going on. And there was some yeah. months I'm just like, all right, I did too much, I spent too much. Or there yeah. was a time where, you know, I paid something by check, and I don't know what happened on the bank side, the check went through two times. I'm like, wow, that's two times amount that I Ooh, cannot afford.
God. I did that one time. Yeah, oh yeah.
little habits like that away. Help just to kind of like stay on top of what is going yeah. in and out. Yeah,
stay on top. Yeah. It does, and I want to tell people that kind of like think like me too. It doesn't matter how bad, how much damage yep. you might have done. Still check. Because I know that sometimes it's like, oh, I did a little bit too much. And you don't even want to look.
Let it piss you off. So you can be like, all right, next month. Nah, I can't. Mm-mm. I can't.
Right. Learn, like, do better next month. Like, just do better next month. So, I listen.
Or even some of these companies, when they take the money out, it's just like, wait, why did you do that? And I'll call them. Like, they have all these hidden fees. Mm-hmm. For no reason. Oh,
goodness, yes. That's the thing that really...
Yeah, for example, like, that, you know, like, my car insurance or whatever, I wanted to do, like, monthly payments versus, just paying it every quarter or every 6 months. So I did monthly. No, sorry. It was monthly, but it was taken...
Yeah.
It was coming out of my account, but I switched to my credit card. But when it comes from your credit card, they charge a $5 fee. So I'm like... I said to the lady, so you mean to tell me this whole year you guys took $60 out of my account, $5 times 12 months, times 12 months? She was like, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, no, we changing that. We changing. Now I was like, oh, no. And it's just like, I've been a loyal customer, so I fought for that money back because it just doesn't make any sense. Like, you should have at least given me a heads up. Like,
yes. Mm-hmm. That's a page that I took from my mom's book. I have been a loyal customer. That is a page I took from my mom. I'm like, nope, I don't care. They're going to hear it today. They're going to hear my whole story, where it began. Because sometimes it's just like, y'all did a little bit too much. Come on. And sometimes you do have to explain to them. And like what my mom does, she over explains. Like, she does TMI. And I do the same, because it's like, they need to know. And it's like, okay, ma'am. All right, ma'am. But no, it's true. It's true, guys. Like, I would say just make sure you keep tabs on your accounts, on all your accounts. Just make sure, you know, what's going in. It's exactly what Jahane said. What's going in, what's coming out. You do want to keep, you know, up to date with that. Also, I wanted to ask you, so... can you tell us a little bit? I know that that's not exactly what you do, but I wanted to know if you could just tell us a little bit about, you know, the tax world, or, you know, what we maybe should know about.
Oh, man, taxes are the most annoying part when it comes.
Welcome to tax season.
Oh, man. I took the class back in the days, and it was my least favorite, but taxes are a part of life. It's like a part of the economy. So when it comes to taxes, all I can say is pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. They will find a way. They will find a way, and it could hurt you in the long run. Any type of income that you make, a part of it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to quote unquote Uncle Sam. That's just how it works here.
Right.
I even got Bible for that. I was thinking about it, and it's just like, you know, as a Christian, like, just do it the right way. That's all I'm gonna say, and God will honor you for it. He will bless you. It may seem all this hard-earned money is going to the government. Trust me. God is going to pay you back and honor you for it. Even in the Bible, when it says, give Caesar what belongs to him and give God what belongs.
Jesus was the one that said it.
I remember thinking about it, and I'm just like, all right, that applies to me too. So I'm just going to be faithful with the taxes. And, you know, if you don't pay it, if you don't pay your taxes, you're going to stifle yourself from accomplishing things later on. Like I said, for the home ownership process, I had to present the last 3-4 years of taxes. And I till this day, I don't even know why. Yeah. I know because, like, you know, when I do my taxes going forward, I can get credits for the home. I can put that on my taxes. Yeah. But I think it also has to, I think it's also for them to see your history. Can I trust this person to pay back my loan? Do they even pay their taxes?
Yeah. Taxes, right. And I want to speak to that too. It's so important that you said even to purchase your home, they want to see the past 3 or 4 years of your taxes. I want to let people know, like, hey, I know that they give you like a whole booklet thing, like, of your taxes, and the year before they even give that to you too. So yeah. I would like save those things. I have a whole file drawer back in New York. I brought some stuff with me down here as well, because this is the thing, like, you just never know what information people need to see, you know? So save your stuff, like, put it in a special file cabinet or something, like, just save your stuff, because it comes in handy. Like, because there's some young adults that don't really know that they should save it, and, like, some save people it. End up shredding it. No.
Save like, it.
Just save
and
it.
And,
just
and
save
it's like, things. You know, taxes are not the best thing, but it's, honestly, it's really not that complicated. Like, there are tools out there like TurboTax. That's what I use to do my own taxes, and it's really not hard. Like, you know, you just go online, you can do like I think there's like the basic plan where you don't have to pay for it, but then there's like a deluxe package. I think it's maybe like $60 to $100, the same amount you would pay a tax preparer. And what it does, it asks you questions, the things that you might not even think of. It'll ask you those questions, and it's just like, oh yeah, I did pay for something like that. Oh yeah, let me add, and it tells you where to find this information, just so they can really assess how much money you should get back in taxes. And there's a lot of ins and outs to taxes, but it's pretty much taken into account what money came in, your income from your W-2 or whatever other. Whether it's self-employment or whatever, and the money that came out. Sometimes you can get credits for your educational expenses if you're in school. For most people who pay tithes, you can get benefits from your it's when you pay some money to the church, you do get money back on that, because it's considered a charitable contribution. Like, there's a lot of big companies where they talk about how they made all of this money in profit, but they paid very little in taxes because they constantly donate to charitable organizations, nonprofit organizations. So it's just like all that money that you made, a lot of it went towards helping others. So you save on your taxes for that. Another thing I want to say when it comes to taxes, take the time to understand it. Don't just depend on your tax preparer. They make mistakes too. Hold them accountable when you get back your taxes. Look at it. If you don't understand what the number in this row means, ask them, what is this? Where did this come from? What does that mean? Because there's something that you have to sign at the end of the day where the tax preparer did their best to represent you, but you're still responsible because you're the one supplying them the information. You're still responsible for your taxes. And I've seen situations where a small error, a small mix-up was on the tax return. And here come the IRS. And they don't play. They send these letters talking about you owe this amount of money by such and such date. If it's not received by them, you will incur interest. Yes. Like, I'm telling you, like, I've seen, and it's just like, what? You don't want that. And it's like a small little mistake. And it's usually for something so small.
I have actually seen it. Oh my goodness. I remember I was doing my taxes last year, and this lady was talking about her experience with that. And it was late at night, because I like to do my taxes early, and it was really late. And so she had like the whole office in tears because it was so crazy, because it was literally a little small error. And because she was telling like the tax guy that was doing her tax, she's like, you make sure you don't mess up, because I'm not having a dance. Oh my gosh, it's so true, you guys. But and I'm glad that you spoke on that, because I'm also, you know, learning and seeing, like, trying to educate myself as well on, you know, what's going on in my taxes, mm-hmm. and what I should be getting back, what I'm paying, and everything like that. And I'm glad you shouted out mm-hmm. TurboTax. Mm-hmm. I'm using that as well. So I would say, even if you are, like, because I wouldn't say it's like all about math, but even if you're not, you would say that you're not good at math.
As long as you know how to add, subtract, really, you're good.
As long as you know how to,
into the thing, that's basically, like, all right, it. I just put the number and you see like the numbers, and then you see it spits out what my estimated tax is. I'm like, I don't know what you did, but all right, that number looks good to me.
Right. That's what, exactly. So I'm so, like, that's like, when I tell you, that's one of the biggest things that, you know, well, that helps, it helps. So I would tell anyone right now, like, if you can, just educate yourself on it. And I'm glad that you spoke about that. But we've been having like a great conversation about our money management, our taxes, and home ownership. And I want to ask you the last question. So you've accomplished all of these things, and it's amazing. It's great. Now, I want to ask you, what do you see for yourself for the rest of this year, or by the end of the year?
Financially. Oh, okay. Oh, man. Wow. I already had an answer, and it wasn't even tied to anything financial related. I mean, I was like reflecting, because this is the year 2021, after going through, well, still being in a pandemic. And I was just mostly focused on just gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like the homeownership process was a big thing. And it's just like, you know, I'm just,
big deal.
I'm just basking in that longer.
mm-hmm. As you should.
Definitely focus on my well-being. You know, taking better care of myself, just, you know, mm-hmm. mentally, physically, emotionally, all of that stuff. But financially, wow. I feel like financially, I think after purchasing the house, now I'm kind of like thinking to myself, all right, I want to get back into the habit of saving, because now I have a mortgage that I am responsible for. Yes. God forbid, I don't know if this pandemic might impact me where I may get laid off. So I'm mm-hmm. curbing my spending habits again. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to a point where I was probably ordering from Uber Eats or Grubhub or whatever. Now I'm like, you know what? I know how. Yeah, back in the days when I was
crawling, to get up in that kitchen, girl,
for lunch. I was bringing my food to work. And then I kind of got to a point where I could, you know, buy lunch or whatever. So now I'm going back to cooking more versus spending. Being in this pandemic, I get sick and tired when I look at my closet and I see all the clothes sitting there that I can't wear mm-hmm. because I'm working from home all the time. So I'm just like, all right, I'm going to work on that. I'm not going to jump on every sale because it's just going to sit in the closet. Yeah. Like, I don't go to the office anymore. I'm at home. So I think I'm back into the habit of just saving again. Cause like with the home ownership process, a lot of money went out the door. A lot of money went out the door, and it's just like that cushion kind of deflated a bit. So I need to, I'm going to get back to that. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Well, you guys, I hope that you learned, you took some notes. I just jotted down some notes myself. and I've even gotten convicted because I need to curb, you know, and I think that, but it speaks to just growing up, you know, and this is like, I, this is the part, this is why I named it Adultish, because, you know, we haven't really got, I don't even think that you'll ever stop learning how to be an adult. You know, you're always learning every single day. There's always something else, you know, to learn and to experience.
That's true.
And every day that you're above ground, you're learning something new. So I definitely think that this was a helpful episode. Jahane, I thank you again for just coming on and like being game to just spit out the wisdom and the knowledge that you had, especially in this arena. So I thank you for just
I'm so happy to have been a part of this. I thank you for asking me to talk on this topic. It's real. It's really real. And going through it and making some of my mistakes, I wouldn't wish that on anyone else. So I'm happy to have been able to share that. And yeah, it was good talking to you.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing, you guys. So this is Adultish. If anyone has any questions about what we just spoke about, you know that you can hit me up in my DM. You can hit Jahane up. Do you mind giving your social media
just my
handles?
First and last name, Jahane Menard. Instagram, my account name is Adorned Gem. What else I got? Twitter, Adorn Gem. Mm-hmm. Don't really use that, but what else? Snapchat, same thing, Adorn Gem. So
yes, keep it simple. Yes, and I'll also be tagging her as well in this episode when I promote it. So you guys, thank you again for listening. I hope that you guys have learned and just gleaned from this. I know that I have. Until next time, see you again. This is Adultish.